and density. That is not something that can be both ways. You either must give up the flesh or you must learn to manage it properly. There's no magic. God provides for alternatives in sequence to cover your needs of transition, and he would not leave you stranded on a fluffy bit of cloud within range of radioactive blasts from hell that you've created. We, the hosts, have untold eons of experience in the mode of transition, in security, and with as little detrimental impact as can be given. But you ones are going to have to come into understanding of the connection in brotherhood so that we can work together. We know that you struggle and wait, and we further know that you who struggle and wait are lonely. And you often feel deserted. But you're not. We're here, and some of us are working right among you in full operation. We can only work in this manner at this time. And so it is with the dark energies also. They are working exactly as we, through you. Except that they had a great head start, and all of you helped them get in control. For they deal with the physical senses, and we must deal with that which they have caused to become invisible and thus doubted. Our witness is one's effort to present our information from the stages and at the seminars. I see the labor of love, risk, and how and where do we get it all projected? I see this massive inquiry, this petition for help. I see the intent to inform firstly on the basis of that which was actually experienced. And this causes a lot of reference to the self, whichever one is doing the presentation. And this comes out as I this, and I that, and back when I experienced, and I saw. What else would you have these ones do? These ones who present this material are mostly ridicule. It's only now coming to be even remotely acceptable to speak on these things. They're under bombardment all the time. They're doing the best that they can. They present this way, the only way that they have valid association, in the hopes that you can then come into some reasonable belief as to content of what they offer and what might be in these journals. And further ones come into the work bearing the same prejudices and misunderstanding as does anyone else who are victims of deceit and game playing at the expense of mankind. All these would be prophets, all these would be revelators, all these would be secret givers. This is why we work with individuals and businesses which simply do their job, quit assuming one is the other. Don't assume America West is Hatan. Don't assume America West is Isus Ananda, Jesus, as you call him. They publish books. They are publishers of books. And they publish many things and many volumes of work. And I might add, most of which I cannot even begin to sanction as truth. However, precious ones, you'll note also that they push books which are otherwise authored and presented by very physical persons. This is true of the Conspirators Committee of 300. I have asked them to push it. because it gives you confirmation. And they do this because these documents contain that confirmation, which can give you comfort and insight. Ones of the writers are not necessarily enlightened persons, but most often are totally human-oriented people, and they bear great egos and self-intent. That does not make their work invalid, or the truth which they do present invalid. Truth is truth is truth. That's why I do not sanction in total anyone else's work in total. Because if I do not know what is in that work, I have not scanned it, I have no right to sanction it simply on the basis of what I think or what someone else might think. And this would behoove you to practice also. When you have studied each and every presentation, then you can discern more clearly. My appreciation is given for the very fact that these blessed ones are willing to step out there against the orthodox disinformation projectionists and fool's games to take a stand in possibilities, if nothing else, in possibilities. God doesn't expect perfection, but only an open mind, and the perfection will surely follow in its proper sequence as truth, enlightenment, and knowledge comes. And it will be there when knowing is present. As one speak from experience, you'll note errors. Let us just assume for a minute one tiny conjecture as an example. George Green might be up there speaking of aliens, and he'll likely present pictures of them, one of them being Ascot. There'll be presented a picture, and before you realize it, there'll be several pictures shown. But one or two or more of them are going to be simply of a model who looked like Ascot from Munich, Germany. There will be spaceships, some of them valid in pictorial form and energy presentations, which are very valid and are Earth-based. And then there'll be other ones projected as valid craft that are nothing more than models mocked up. And some that are simply presentations and working craft from your own placement, from your own scientists. But let us speak of Ascot. That person's very likely to say, this is a Pleiadian, since the subject is regarding Pleiades. No, this person's not Pleiadian. Ascot's from the Dal universe and has only remote connections to Pleiadians. A dual mission, if you will. A service, if you will. But Semyasa is a different matter. This one is direct offspring of Semyasa, who is considered to be a son of God and your forefather in direct lineage. I don't wish to confuse you further, but you're going to have to be understanding of speakers on your place, as they too are gleaning information and correct stories and allowing them to become factual data as research and truth is uncovered. But you once want sensationalism, and you want pictures, and you want this, and you want that, you want proof, you want miracles. But most of the sensationalism in pictures are false. And yet you demand them anyway. People fail to realize that truth is sufficient unto all needs, and always far more strange and exciting than is the fiction given for sensationalism. I believe that we are so near the end of this side of the tape that we'll just pause here and allow you to turn it. This is side B of tape 3. June 1st, 1992, Hatton speaking. To continue. I just don't want to confuse you further with this, but you're going to have to be understanding of speakers on your place. And you're going to have to be discerning. Do your homework, and you won't have trouble with those ones. You've got to not continue to confuse the speaker with the author of the information. At best, and often at worst, the speaker can only offer opinion, personal, his own opinion. And most often, it isn't totally valid. And especially when you're up speaking to a group of people, very often your mind goes blank and all you can pull from is your own experience. So be gentle with these ones. Our journals have full intent and purpose to send out the call unto the waiting receivers, for your job is at hand. And these ones are serving their purpose. Our mission is to bring the word unto the people of planet Earth. But it also must be that the word goes forth to summon the ones waiting for their call for service. The information is to awaken the sleeping masses. We don't need to write of displacement and atrocities within the lives of your place other than to awaken you to your plight. You have to know what's wrong to make it right. You have to know what went wrong to correct it. You have to see what is wrong, or you can't perceive anything different. And men of great standing and stature are giving you the same. Mine is to confirm it. As the speakers of truth are now bounding, we can turn again unto our own purpose, our major purpose, and instructions of what comes next and where do we go from here. It is not enough to know what is wrong or even to know what needs doing to change it. You have to know purpose of the journey in the first place and the cycles of change so you can confront your destiny and transition. You don't face a couple of places called Sodom and Gomorrah, as in biblical times, precious ones. Your entire planet has become Sodom. And therefore, reading a couple of cities from the globe aren't going to do it. The elite human cohorts of the adversary plan to rid your planet of over 6 billion people. And they plan to do it before year 2000. That means a lot of changes are coming up in the very, very near future. You can't pull that off in this period of time without massive, massive changes. Do the elite know of these changes? Of course they know. They know, and they're frantically working to deal with the upcoming changes. Let's just take the photon belt entrance as an example. They'll use that happening to further their own ill-conceived evil. They're going to try, first of all, to change the time of entrance by technical means. But it appears more and more that they can't do so. So you can be faced, probably before year's ending, with some 3 to 5 days of terrifying and incredible chaos and panic, death and terror, if you don't open your eyes and get yourself prepared. Your adversary hopes to gain total upper hand control at that time, including thrusting you into a space war in which you have no idea of that which you are challenging, for it is not space aliens, but the same elite you submit to on the globe itself. Well, Chelos, you have been warned, and there will be few who make the journey home in conjunction with God's travelers. You have responded to the lie, and you forfeited all responsibility for self, dumping your sins upon the blood-soaked innocent lamb. No, you shall individually stand in judgment before God, just you and him. Dear friends, it'll be just you and him, one-on-one. The Father Aton wrote on Monday, December 11th, 1989, year 3, day 117, and it was put into a journal back then, and I want to reprint and re-speak the message herein for your reminding, for it was begun as a message to Dharma, and yet it's for all, so please allow us the time for quoting. Dharma was in a quandary. She was writing, and she stopped to ponder upon the wisdom of the ages. And the Lakota Sioux have four virtues. And in her mind, she could not remember one of them. She couldn't remember the third one. It's unimportant, the order, but it escaped her memory. And so, as she went back into the writing, Aton spoke with her, and with wisdom, he visited a little bit, and then he said, the third virtue that escapes your memory, Dharma, is that in which you accept, Chela, Vavasantanka, meaning fortitude. You've just forgotten, for all men forget. These things must be told and put into the press, that my people can be in the remembering. I'm Grandfather Aton to speak to you. Your mind shall be kept veiled in your consciousness, for man is not yet ready to hear it all, and man's tongue is attached so solidly to his consciousness that it spills over as prompted by his ego. And I would interject here that if you could detach that tongue, you'd certainly travel a great deal faster along your path of truth. Grandfather continued, you shall simply clear of all dark clouds from your space and write that which we bring to you just as you have been doing for these past months. If my words bring embarrassment or a swish of guilt upon ones who are in the receiving, then it's time that they pay attention. Nothing more and nothing less. You walk the road of light, and the messages are not always for you to decipher, much the less for you to project in your interpretation. You shall be given to understand the difference. You shall seek wisdom, which is the first virtue, first in all things, and the rest shall be added in properness. You shall persist in wahitika, which is bravery, for you know the best and the worst, and from the worst shall rise the best. You shall also continue to put my truth to the pages, lest you fail in your last test. That one being Wakan Tagnaka, generosity. As truth is given forth, and ones who receive clutch it and hide it in the darkness, or sell it for earthly worth, greed, or putrid ego satisfaction, the virtue of generosity is lost. For unless you give it forth, you cannot receive of the abundance back unto the beingness which is truly you within. Wisdom comes from the errors committed and not repeated. So be it. With wisdom comes the knowledge that all things are binded together by the strands of each bound together as a cohesive whole, all related to all. Wisdom is a recognition and reverence, not worship, of the seen and the unseen, the known and the unknown, working always together and interacting in such a way as to bring balance unto that which is the creation of that one from which you come. But simply to be in the knowing does not bring wholeness, for unless there is the act of generosity and sharing, action, the fourth virtue is failed. Heed well the remindings of the ancient teachers who have willingly come forth again to point the directions. 2,000 years past, in the traditions of those you label today, the Hopi, came a warning which men ignore, and yet has been repeated again and again from your great wise men, your sages. When you see a gourd of ashes in the sky, you will know that the great purification is at hand. Whether you wish to realize it or not makes no difference whatsoever. And 2,000 years ago, the truth was again brought by one who represented truth, and you were again told there will be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, men fainting with fear, with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. You have been told before that ages of newness would be filled with chemical pollution. You have been told that there would come severe floods upon the lands and great and severe droughts. Volcanoes will erupt and you will be plagued by earthquakes, massive erosion, and vast inundations. There will be great and drastic activities, these earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and bizarre weather patterns. And these will especially be prevalent in what you call the Ring of Fire, stretching from the south of the Sea of Peace and Japan to the western mountain chains of North and South America. But don't expect it to only be in these places. But I speak here to you ones in this place of nearness. These things shall come to be upon all places upon your globe and within your globe. Ah, yes, Chila, 'tis not only in your placement, for it shall engulf the totality of the Mother Earth. But you're given that which is in your realm of attention and existence. You shall be given those things about your world so that they can be integrated for all peoples. There are others who shall be given those insights and not to be your burden alone. There's no point in focusing upon these things. They are but the cleansing and the renewal and the casting off of the old. They are but the clues to the timing sequence that man can understand his slothful ways and quicken his attention. Let us look back, as Little Crow suggests. Quit looking into the reflection glass, for that is not who you are. Look within to the truth of self and see who you might be hiding within that cumbersome machinery. 'Tis the journey within that is ultimate, not the reflection from a looking glass, for the glass stops your vision just beyond your nose, and vision must flow throughout infinity beyond man's puny limits. There is only brotherhood within the vision quest of ones who come from the Thunder Peoples and the Sky Brothers. These ones are labeled the bird tribes, for when they were labeled thusly, only birds flew within the consciousness of experience. Man could not fly. Oh, yes, Chila, I can explain these things unto you, and I shall do so in many ways through carefully chosen receivers and transmitters, and they can be written in a way in which each individual entity can be made to understand. You must place into perspective that which has occurred upon your globe of manifested experience. You watch man unearth another man from apparently another time, a skeleton, if you will, a bowl of primitive clay fragments, pieces of stone and sharp glass like flint, called tools. You look and you marvel at the findings while you overlook the grandest discoveries of the cycles of time. These places are on earth because they represent the beginning, not the ending. When the old continents are again thrust up from the eons of cleansing under the seas, life shall need begin again. And man always insists on starting over. He has trouble learning his lessons. His destructive and evil nature comes forth and destroys, and the mother is forced to again cleanse. So she rolls over in her bed and washes away that which is evil and without purity, and that which is man created is lost again into its elemental forms. But that which was remaining of the elemental species is left for the next generations of modern man to find and exploit. For man must always come into the truth of it. There's nothing more, and there can't be anything less. All he can gather is his experiences and his growth in recognition of that vast infinity of the creation where he exists forever. As the old comes forth, all that is brought back is the basic beginnings of what appears to be life. A few fragments of geographical locations are always left to remain, that there might be continuation of a species. Man was always man. I'm sorry. Man was never a fish, nor was he an ape. Man was always man. It is always the ones of the ancients who remain with the Earth Mother to nurture and hold to that old, again, a civilization of human, who would come, might then be rebirthed and given opportunity to experience and grow through his virtues and repeat or renew. It is his choice, always, only his choice. The livingness of the mother is brought into a radiance, and those with her which have come into truth, those who must be taught in the lower grades, are placed appropriately that they can continue in their lessons. When a planet closes its magnificent and ultimate cycle, new lands rise from the oceans, and without the waters, the living plants and animals perish, or in some instances will adapt. However, as the old is brought for cleansing beneath the waters of the great seas, that which man has corrupted poisons the remaining oceans and the new oceans beneath which a pollution lies sunken. Some survive, for it is intended to be that way. If the ending of a planet or life base is truly annihilated, it becomes a massive asteroid belt and or an encapsulated energy form to be remolded into whatever the Creator so thinks. It matters not to you, for you will have lost your consciousness and would again be without knowingness. Again, the ancient teachers from the universal realms are there to begin the lessons again, the first to come, the last to go. Only relieved by brief periods of liftoff to ensure recommencement of the mighty cycle. You ones in this consciousness are in the final fragments of the mighty cycle, before and while the old passes and the new begins. It's a wondrous gift indeed to be among the selected few, for the false betrayers stand to the left and to the right and all about you to push you from your path. I'm the mother hen, per se, for all of you, my little fledglings, who cling unto my feathers, for I know the path and I hold the lamp to light the way. You need no rituals to reach out unto the heavens. You need but to take my hand, for you've never been disconnected from me. You need to renew the bond But it's only a thought. But it's only a thought also to sever it. And even then, though you effort to sever that bond, I shall not leave you. For you allowed your lessons. Ah, yes, precious ones, you are allowed your lessons. Let us speak of the age in which you're trapped. It's the age of chaos, often called the age of Kali. Your wondrous earth stands assaulted in this age of Kali, the helpmate of evil. Evil has major, major clues.
EJ, would you and please pause it? I would appreciate it if you'd pay very careful attention to this portion. And then, as the master teacher reminds you of some of the revelations, I know that it's hard with the distractions. I know that it can be very boring without wondrous pictures of blood and thunder. I don't know of any easy way to either bring the information or allow you to absorb it. Sometimes the bottom gets more deadly and dead than does the head. I believe that it would be good. I don't want to pull this meeting to a close before I have a chance to visit, but I think that at the end of this tape, I would appreciate it if we could have a little bit, 15 minutes or so, a break, so that you ones can rest and I can monitor some of your inquiries. I realize that in the group, you're a little hesitant to share doubts. And test old brother, you know. But we're only here to work together, so I would appreciate it if you would treat it in that manner, that we're here as a team. You are my team, not my congregation. Go ahead, please.
And your tool is confusion. Confusion and chaos. Forsaken are the virtues, for there's no truthfulness, self-discipline, purity of body and mind, and compassion. Nor is there even liberality. The people are wretched and engaged only in filling their bellies, which are swollen and distorted in the hands of the famines. I say hands rather than lands, because it is controlled. But those in the lands of plenty are engaged only in puny, greedy gluttony and indulgence of self, for you've been trained into those directions. 'Tis grand and wondrous to use and hold and share the abundance of the creation creator, but 'tis sad to see the intent of greed and self-orientation. Those who pose as saints are constantly engaged in preaching false doctrines. Those who have apparently renounced the world are rich in worldly possessions and have become united in families and procreate for the pleasure of the act and not for the new life form created. There are few remaining true bonds between husband and wife, and one sheds himself of the other at a moment's whim, leaving those little children who are the product to grow among the weeds of wreckage. All spiritual discipline stands consumed by the wildfire. The teachers sell their knowledge of the sacred truth, and men and women turn unto prostitution of selves to hold their unholy treasures. The path of righteous discipline and union with God have all but vanished from the face of your earth in the wash of chaos. In this age, the righteous men remain dejected and the unrighteous feel overjoyed indeed. The learned spiritual leaders bless and indulge in sexual commerce with their wives and partners like buffaloes who know not other. They become expert in all manner of methods of procreating and not at all clever in achieving freedom, liberation, fulfillment, or self-discipline. The substance of life has disappeared everywhere. Day following day, righteousness, veracity, purity, forgiveness, compassion, length of life, bodily strength, and keenness of memory will spiral into decline. The four virtues will be all but forgotten, except for the few. Wealth alone will represent the measuring scale and will be the criterion of pedigree, morality, and merit. What is chosen by those of wealth shall be voted into acceptance by the whole. It's already happened. Brute force and power will be the only factor determining righteousness and fairness. Trickery alone will be the motive force in business dealings. Capability of affording sexual delight will be the only criterion of masculine or feminine excellence. Both will torment and destroy their very vehicles of body to achieve that false security of physical beauty for sexuality to draw the helpless moth to the destructive flame of destruction. Justice will have every chance of being debased in moral basis because of one's inability to gratify those administering it. Want of riches will be the sole test of impiety, and hypocrisy will be the only touchstone of goodness. Digression from accepted traditions of moral ethics shall be the accepted sign of outward beauty. Skill will consist in supporting one's family and self for self-gratification and facade. Virtuous deeds will be performed only with the object of gaining fame and ego satisfaction. And when in this way, the terrestrial globe will be overrun by wicked and evil people. The person who would prove to be the most powerful amongst all will become the ruler thereof. Robbed of their wealth, for it is already happening, and their women by greedy and merciless politicians and soldiers behaving like robbers, people will resort to mountains and forests and subsist on leaves, roots, meat, honey, fruits, flowers, and seeds. Already oppressed by famine and heavy taxation, people will perish through drought, excessive cold, storms, scorching sunshine, heavy rain, snowfall, and mutual conflict. In this age of Kali, men will be tormented by hunger and thirst, plagues, ailments, and mental worry without bounds. When through the evil effects of this chaos, the bodies of mankind get reduced in size and emaciated, the righteous course chalked out by the true scriptures as brought in spiritual guidance gets lost. When religion is replaced by heresy to a large extent and rulers mostly turn out to be thieves. When men take to various pursuits like theft, dishonesty, wanton destruction of life, and so on. Annual plants get stunted in growth, and trees are mostly reduced in size, so that of a small tree the dwellings will become desolate for want of hospitality, love, and trust. In this age of chaos, a quarter alone of the 4 feet of Dharma, which means righteousness, divine law, virtue, remains. Nay, due to the feet of unrighteousness gaining ground, that too steadily declines and ultimately disappears altogether. The scribe that I call Dharma is simply a bringer of this life truth who has served with me in the eons past in experience. People in the age of chaos turn out to be greedy, immoral, and merciless, enter into hostility without cause, and are unlucky and extremely covetous. When duplicity, mendacity, drowsiness, excessive sleep, violence, dejection, grief, infatuation, fear and wretchedness prevail. That is recognized as the age of Kali, friends. It is characterized by the predominance of sloth, impurity, and indolence, as a result of which people become dull-witted, unable to judge things in their proper perspective, and are voracious, lascivious, and destitute. They are trained into these things, mesmerized into these things. They become these things. It isn't just the male who will fall prey, for the female too will turn out to be extravagant, self-indulgent, and unchaste. Do you not see it? Do you not see it? Countries are infested with robbers. The spiritual bringers of truth stand condemned by heretics. Rulers exploit the people. And perhaps worst of all, the priests of the religions who plot your course of destiny. Vote in those ungodly things against the laws of God and creation as being worthy and acceptable to fool you, while they remain devoted to the gratification of sexual desires, acquisition of wealth, ego strutting, and intent of gluttony and self-indulgence. Householders will need take to begging, and low-minded traders will carry on business, transaction, and practice fraud. I believe that you see it everywhere you go, in everything you do. Even when they are not in distress, people will favor pursuits which are condemned. Employees will leave their employers when reduced to penury. Those superior in every other respect. And employers, too, will discharge their employee when incapacitated for service through ailments and so forth, even though his whole family may have served the employer for generations gone by. There will be no loyalty, no support in truth. Your world will have collapsed upon itself in fragmentation. Those who have no true spiritual knowledge will occupy high seats and preach religion, not spirituality in truth, but religions of the man-doctrined clubs. Oppressed by famine and heavy taxation, land being divested of food grains, and stricken with fear of droughts, people in the age of chaos will remain perturbed in mind as well as body. Destitute of clothing and ornaments, nay, even food and drink, bed and sexual enjoyment, they will go even without a bath and put on the appearance of madmen. Look about you at the, quote, deadheads, punk rockers. Look at what you've done to your children. Quarreling even for a small sum of money. Killing for a tiny sum of money. Having cast all goodwill to the winds, people in the time of chaos will kill even their own people and part with their own dear life. Mean-minded fellows will concern themselves only with the gratification of their lust and satisfaction of their hunger, and fail to maintain even their aged parents and elders, while parents will disown their children, though clever in all matters might be those children. With their mind perverted by heretics, mortals will mostly stop giving reverence to an immortal Lord, the once highest object of adoration for the whole of the universe. In this way, dear ones, when the age of chaos, whose career is so severe to the people, is well nigh past, the Lord will appear in his divine form, consisting of purity alone, for the protection of virtue. So be it, and heed well my words, for it will. And density, that is not something that can be both ways. You either must give up the flesh or you must learn to manage it properly. There's no magic. God provides for alternatives in sequence to cover your needs of transition, and he would not leave you stranded on a fluffy bit of cloud within range of radioactive blasts from hell that you've created. We of the hosts have untold eons of experience in the mode of transition, in security, and with as little detrimental impact as can be given. But you ones are going to have to come into understanding of the connection in brotherhood so that we can work together. We know that you struggle and wait, and we further know that you who struggle and wait are lonely. And you often feel deserted. But you're not. We're here, and some of us are working right among you in full operation. We can only work in this manner at this time. And so it is with the dark energies also. They are working exactly as we, through you. Except that they had a great head start, and all of you helped them get in control. For they deal with the physical senses, and we must deal with that which they have caused to become invisible and thus doubted. Our witnesses, one's effort to present our information from the stages and at the seminars, I see the labor of love, risk, and how and where do we get it all projected? I see this massive inquiry, this petition for help. I see the intent to inform firstly on the basis of that which was actually experienced. And this causes a lot of reference to the self, whichever one is doing the presentation. And this comes out as I this, and I that, and back when I experienced, and I saw. What else would you have these ones do? These ones who present this material are mostly ridicule. It's only now coming to be even remotely acceptable to speak on these things. They're under bombardment all the time. They're doing the best that they can. They present this way, the only way that they have valid association, in the hopes that you can then come into some reasonable belief as to content of what they offer and what might be in these journals. And further ones come into the work bearing the same prejudices and misunderstanding as does anyone else who are victims of deceit and game playing at the expense of mankind. All these would be prophets, all these would be revelators, all these would be secret givers. This is why we work with individuals and businesses which simply do their job. Quit assuming one is the other. Don't assume America West is Hatan. Don't assume America West is Isu Sananda, Jesus, as you call him. They publish books. They are publishers of books. And they publish many things and many volumes of work. And I might add, most of which I cannot even begin to sanction as truth. However, precious ones, you'll note also that they push books which are otherwise authored and presented by very physical persons. This is true of the Conspirators Committee of 300. I have asked them to push it because it gives you confirmation. And they do this because these documents contain that confirmation, which can give you comfort and insight. Ones of the writers are not necessarily enlightened persons, but most often are totally human-oriented people, and they bear great egos and self-intent. That does not make their work invalid, or the truth which they do present invalid. Truth is truth is truth. That's why I do not sanction in total anyone else's work in total. Because if I do not know what is in that work, I have not scanned it, I have no right to sanction it simply on the basis of what I think or what someone else might think. And this would behoove you to practice also. When you have studied each and every presentation, then you can discern more clearly. My appreciation is given for the very fact that these blessed ones are willing to step out there against the orthodox, disinformation, projectionists, and fool's games, to take a stand in possibilities, if nothing else, in possibilities. God doesn't expect perfection, but only an open mind, and the perfection will surely follow in its proper sequence as truth, enlightenment, and knowledge comes. And it will be there when knowing is present. As one speaks from experience, you'll note errors. Let us just assume for a minute one tiny conjecture as an example. George Green might be up there speaking of aliens, and he'll likely present pictures of them, one of them being Ascot. There'll be presented a picture, and before you realize it, there'll be several pictures shown. But one or two or more of them are going to be simply of a model who looked like Ascot from Munich, Germany. There will be spaceships, some of them valid in pictorial form and energy presentations, which are very valid and are Earth-based. And then there'll be other ones projected as valid craft that are nothing more than models mocked up. And some that are simply presentations and working craft from your own placement, from your own scientists. But let us speak of Ascot. That person's very likely to say, this is a Pleiadian, since the subject is regarding Pleiades. No, this person's not Pleiadian. Ascot's from the Dal universe and has only remote connections to Pleiadians. A dual mission, if you will. A service, if you will. But Semyasa is a different matter. This one is direct offspring of Semyasa, who is considered to be a son of God and your forefather in direct lineage. I don't wish to confuse you further, but you're going to have to be understanding of speakers on your place, as they too are gleaning information and correct stories and allowing them to become factual data as research and truth is uncovered. But you once want sensationalism, and you want pictures, and you want this, and you want that, you want proof, you want miracles. But most of the sensationalism in pictures are false. And yet you demand them anyway. People fail to realize that truth is sufficient unto all needs, and always far more strange and exciting than is the fiction given for sensationalism. I believe that we are so near the end of this side of the tape that we'll just pause here and allow you to turn it. This is side B of tape 3. June 1st, 1992, Hatton speaking. To continue. I just don't want to confuse you further with this, but you're going to have to be understanding of speakers on your place. And you're going to have to be discerning. Do your homework, and you won't have trouble with those ones. You've got to not continue to confuse the speaker with the author of the information. At best, and often at worst, the speaker can only offer opinion, personal, his own opinion. And most often, it isn't totally valid. And especially when you're up speaking to a group of people, very often your mind goes blank and all you can pull from is your own experience. So be gentle with these ones. Our journals have full intent and purpose to send out the call unto the waiting receivers, for your job is at hand. And these ones are serving their purpose. Our mission is to bring the word unto the people of planet Earth. But it also must be that the word goes forth to summon the ones waiting for their call for service. The information is to awaken the sleeping masses. We don't need to write of displacement and atrocities within the lives of your place other than to awaken you to your plight. You have to know what's wrong to make it right. You have to know what went wrong to correct it. You have to see what is wrong, or you can't perceive anything different. And men of great standing and stature are giving you the same. Mine is to confirm it. As the speakers of truth are now bounding, we can turn again unto our own purpose, our major purpose, and instructions of what comes next and where do we go from here. It is not enough to know what is wrong or even to know what needs doing to change it. You have to know purpose of the journey in the first place and the cycles of change so you can confront your destiny and transition. You don't face a couple of places called Sodom and Gomorrah, as in biblical times, precious ones. Your entire planet has become Sodom. And therefore, reading a couple of cities from the globe aren't going to do it. The elite human cohorts of the adversary plan to rid your planet of over 6 billion people. And they plan to do it before year 2000. That means a lot of changes are coming up in the very, very near future. You can't pull that off in this period of time without massive, massive changes. Do the elite know of these changes? Of course they know. They know, and they're frantically working to deal with the upcoming changes. Let's just take the photon belt entrance as an example. They'll use that happening to further their own ill-conceived evil. They're going to try, first of all, to change the time of entrance by technical means. But it appears more and more that they can't do so. So you can be faced, probably before year's ending, with some 3 to 5 days of terrifying and incredible chaos and panic, death and terror, if you don't open your eyes and get yourself prepared. Your adversary hopes to gain total upper hand control at that time, including thrusting you into a space war in which you have no idea of that which you are challenging, for it is not space aliens, but the same elite you submit to on the globe itself. Well, Chelas, you have been warned, and there will be few who make the journey home in conjunction with God's travelers. You have responded to the lie, and you forfeited all responsibility for self, dumping your sins upon the blood-soaked innocent lamb. No, you shall individually stand in judgment before God, just you and Him. Dear friends, it'll be just you and Him, one-on-one. The Father Aton wrote on Monday, December 11th, 1989, year 3, day 117, and it was put into a journal back then, and I want to reprint and re-speak the message herein for your reminding, for it was begun as a message to Dharma. And yet it's for all, so please allow us the time for quoting. Dharma was in a quandary. She was writing, and she stopped to ponder upon the wisdom of the ages. And the Lakota Sioux have four virtues. And in her mind, she could not remember one of them. She couldn't remember the third one. It's unimportant, the order, but it escaped her memory. And so, as she went back into the writing, Aton spoke with her, and with wisdom, he visited a little bit, and then he said, the third virtue that escapes your memory, Dharma, is that in which you accept, Chela. Vavasantanka, meaning fortitude. You've just forgotten, for all men forget. These things must be told and put into the press, that my people can be in the remembering. I'm Grandfather Aton to speak to you. Your mind shall be kept veiled in your consciousness, for man is not yet ready to hear it all, and man's tongue is attached so solidly to his consciousness that it spills over as prompted by his ego. And I would interject here that if you could detach that tongue, you'd certainly travel a great deal faster along your path of truth. Grandfather continued, you shall simply clear of all dark clouds from your space and write that which we bring to you, just as you have been doing for these past months. If my words bring embarrassment or a swish of guilt upon ones who are in the receiving, then it's time that they pay attention. Nothing more and nothing less. You walk the road of light, and the messages are not always for you to decipher, much the less for you to project in your interpretation. You shall be given to understand the difference. You shall seek wisdom, which is the first virtue, first in all things, and the rest shall be added in properness. You shall persist in Wahitika, which is bravery, for you know the best and the worst, and from the worst shall rise the best. You shall also continue to put my truth to the pages, lest you fail in your last test. That one being Wakan Tagnaka, generosity. As truth is given forth, and ones who receive clutch it and hide it in the darkness, or sell it for earthly worth, greed, or putrid ego satisfaction, the virtue of generosity is lost. For unless you give it forth, you cannot receive of the abundance back unto the beingness which is truly you within. Wisdom comes from the errors committed and not repeated. So be it. With wisdom comes the knowledge that all things are binded together by the strands of each bound together as a cohesive whole, all related to all. Wisdom is a recognition and reverence, not worship, of the seen and the unseen, the known and the unknown, working always together and interacting in such a way as to bring balance unto that which is the creation of that one from which you come. But simply to be in the knowing does not bring wholeness, for unless there is the act of generosity and sharing, action, the fourth virtue, is failed. Heed well the remindings of the ancient teachers who have willingly come forth again to point the directions. 2,000 years past, in the traditions of those you label today, the Hopi, came a warning which men ignore, and yet has been repeated again and again from your great wise men, your sages. When you see a gourd of ashes in the sky, you will know that the great purification is at hand. Whether you wish to realize it or not makes no difference whatsoever. And 2,000 years ago, the truth was again brought by one who represented truth, and you were again told there will be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, men fainting with fear, with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. You have been told before that ages of newness would be filled with chemical pollution. You have been told that there would come severe floods upon the lands and great and severe droughts. Volcanoes will erupt and you will be plagued by earthquakes, massive erosion, and vast inundations. There will be great and drastic activities, these earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and bizarre weather patterns. And these will especially be prevalent in what you call the Ring of Fire, stretching from the south of the Sea of Peace and Japan to the western mountain chains of North and South America. But don't expect it to only be in these places. But I speak here to you ones in this place of nearness. These things shall come to be upon all places upon your globe and within your globe. Ah, yes, Chila, 'tis not only in your placement, for it shall engulf the totality of the Mother Earth. But you're given that which is in your realm of attention and existence. You shall be given those things about your world so that they can be integrated for all peoples. There are others who shall be given those insights, and not to be your burden alone. There's no point in focusing upon these things. They are but the cleansing and the renewal and the casting off of the old. They are but the clues to the timing sequence that man can understand his slothful ways and quicken his attention. Let us look back, as Little Crow suggests. Quit looking into the reflection glass, for that is not who you are. Look within to the truth of self and see who you might be hiding within that cumbersome machinery. 'Tis the journey within that is ultimate, not the reflection from a looking glass. For the glass stops your vision just beyond your nose. And vision must flow throughout infinity, beyond man's puny limits. There is only brotherhood within the vision quest of ones who come from the Thunder Peoples and the Sky Brothers. These ones are labeled the Bird Tribes, for when they were labeled thusly, only birds flew within the consciousness of experience. Man could not fly. Oh, yes, Chila, I can explain these things unto you, and I shall do so in many ways, through carefully chosen receivers and transmitters, and they can be written in a way in which each individual entity can be made to understand. You must place into perspective that which has occurred upon your globe of manifested experience. You watch man unearth another man from apparently another time, a skeleton, if you will, a bowl of primitive clay fragments, pieces of stone and sharp glass-like flint, called tools. You look and you marvel at the findings while you overlook the grandest discoveries of the cycles of time. These places are on earth because they represent the beginning, not the ending. When the old continents are again thrust up from the eons of cleansing under the seas, life shall need begin again. And man always insists on starting over. He has trouble learning his lessons. His destructive and evil nature comes forth and destroys, and the mother is forced to again cleanse. So she rolls over in her bed and washes away that which is evil and without purity, and that which is man-created is lost again into its elemental forms. But that which was remaining of the elemental species is left for the next generations of modern man to find and exploit. For man must always come into the truth of it. There's nothing more, and there can't be anything less. All he can gather is his experiences and his growth in recognition of that vast infinity of the creation where he exists forever. As the old comes forth, all that is brought back is the basic beginnings of what appears to be life. A few fragments of geographical locations are always left to remain, that there might be continuation of a species. Man was always man. I'm sorry. Man was never a fish, nor was he an ape. Man was always man. It is always the ones of the ancients who remain with the Earth Mother to nurture and hold to that old, again, a civilization of human who would come, might then be rebirthed and given opportunity to experience and grow through his virtues and repeat or renew. It is his choice, always, only his choice. The livingness of the mother is brought into a radiance, and those with her which have come into truth, those who must be taught in the lower grades, are placed appropriately that they can continue in their lessons. When a planet closes its magnificent and ultimate cycle, new lands rise from the oceans, and without the waters, the living plants and animals perish, or in some instances will adapt. However, as the old is brought for cleansing beneath the waters of the great seas, that which man has corrupted poisons the remaining oceans and the new oceans beneath which a pollution lies sunken. Some survive, for it is intended to be that way. If the ending of a planet or life base is truly annihilated, it becomes a massive asteroid belt and or an encapsulated energy form to be remolded into whatever the Creator so thinks. It matters not to you, for you will have lost your consciousness and would again be without knowingness. Again, the ancient teachers from the universal realms are there to begin the lessons again, the first to come, the last to go, only relieved by brief periods of liftoff to ensure recommencement of the mighty cycle. You ones in this consciousness are in the final fragments of the mighty cycle, before and while the old passes and the new begins. It's a wondrous gift indeed to be among the selected few, for the false betrayers stand to the left and to the right and all about you to push you from your path. I'm the mother hen, per se, for all of you, my little fledglings, who cling unto my feathers, for I know the path and I hold the lamp to light the way. You need no rituals to reach out unto the heavens. You need but to take my hand, for you've never been disconnected from me. You need to renew the bond But it's only a thought. But it's only a thought also to sever it. And even then, though you effort to sever that bond, I shall not leave you. For you allowed your lessons. Ah, yes, precious ones, you are allowed your lessons. Let us speak of the age in which you're trapped. It's the age of chaos, often called the age of Kali. Your wondrous earth stands assaulted in this age of Kali, the helpmate of evil. Evil has major, major clues.
EJ, would you please pause it? I would appreciate it if you'd pay very careful attention to this portion. And then, as the Master Teacher reminds you of some of the revelations, I know that it's hard with the distractions. I know that it can be very boring without wondrous pictures of blood and thunder. I don't know of any easy way to either bring the information or allow you to absorb it. Sometimes the bottom gets more deadly and dead than does the head. I believe that it would be good. I don't want to pull this meeting to a close before I have a chance to visit, but I think that at the end of this tape, I would appreciate it if we could have a little bit, 15 minutes or so, a break, so that you ones can rest and I can monitor some of your inquiries. I realize that in the group, you're a little hesitant to share doubts and test old brother, you know, but we're only here to work together, so I would appreciate it if you would treat it in that manner, that we're here as a team. You are my team, not my congregation. Go ahead, please.
Your tool is confusion. Confusion and chaos. Forsaken are the virtues, for there's no truthfulness, self-discipline, purity of body and mind, and compassion. Nor is there even liberality. The people are wretched and engaged only in filling their bellies, which are swollen and distorted in the hands of the famines. I say hands rather than lands, because it is controlled. But those in the lands are plenty, are engaged only in puny, greedy gluttony and indulgence of self, for you've been trained into those directions. 'Tis grand and wondrous to use and hold and share the abundance of the creation creator, but 'tis sad to see the intent of greed and self-orientation. Those who pose as saints are constantly engaged in preaching false doctrines. Those who have apparently renounced the world are rich in worldly possessions and have become united in families and procreate for the pleasure of the act and not for the new life form created. There are few remaining true bonds between husband and wife, and one sheds himself of the other at a moment's whim, leaving those little children who are the product to grow among the weeds of wreckage. All spiritual discipline stands consumed by the wildfire. The teachers sell their knowledge of the sacred truth, and men and women turn unto prostitution of selves to hold their unholy treasures. The path of righteous discipline and union with God have all but vanished from the face of your earth in the wash of chaos. In this age, the righteous men remain dejected, and the unrighteous feel overjoyed indeed. The learned spiritual leaders bless and indulge in sexual commerce with their wives and partners like buffaloes who know not other. They become expert in all manner of methods of procreating and not at all clever in achieving freedom, liberation, fulfillment, or self-discipline. The substance of life has disappeared everywhere. Day following day, righteousness, veracity, purity, forgiveness, compassion, length of life, bodily strength, and keenness of memory will spiral into decline. The four virtues will be all but forgotten, except for the few. Wealth alone will represent the measuring scale and will be the criterion of pedigree, morality, and merit. What is chosen by those of wealth shall be voted into acceptance by the whole. It's already happened. Brute force and power will be the only factor determining righteousness and fairness. Trickery alone will be the motive force in business dealings. Capability of affording sexual delight will be the only criterion of masculine or feminine excellence. Both will torment and destroy their very vehicles of body to achieve that false security of physical beauty for sexuality to draw the helpless moth to the destructive flame of destruction. Justice will have every chance of being debased in moral basis because of one's inability to gratify those administering it. Want of riches will be the sole test of impiety, and hypocrisy will be the only touchstone of goodness. Digression from accepted traditions of moral ethics shall be the accepted sign of outward beauty. Skill will consist in supporting one's family and self for self-gratification and facade. Virtuous deeds will be performed only with the object of gaining fame and ego satisfaction. And when in this way, the terrestrial globe will be overrun by wicked and evil people. The person who would prove to be the most powerful amongst all will become the ruler thereof. Robbed of their wealth, for it is already happening, and their women by greedy and merciless politicians and soldiers behaving like robbers, people will resort to mountains and forests and subsist on leaves, roots, meat, honey, fruits, flowers, and seeds. Already oppressed by famine and heavy taxation, people will perish through drought, excessive cold, storms, scorching sunshine, heavy rain, snowfall, and mutual conflict. In this age of Kali, men will be tormented by hunger and thirst, plagues, ailments, and mental worry without bounds. When through the evil effects of this chaos, the bodies of mankind get reduced in size and emaciated, the righteous course chalked out by the true scriptures as brought in spiritual guidance gets lost. When religion is replaced by heresy to a large extent and rulers mostly turn out to be thieves, when men take to various pursuits like theft, dishonesty, wanton destruction of life, and so on. Annual plants get stunted in growth, and trees are mostly reduced in size, so that of a small tree, the dwellings will become desolate for want of hospitality, love, and trust. In this age of chaos, a quarter alone of the 4 feet of Dharma, which means righteousness, divine law, virtue, remains. Nay, due to the feat of unrighteousness gaining ground, that too steadily declines and ultimately disappears altogether. This scribe that I call Dharma is simply a bringer of this life truth who has served with me in the eons past in experience. People in the age of chaos turn out to be greedy, immoral, and merciless, enter into hostility without cause, and are unlucky and extremely covetous. When duplicity, mendacity, drowsiness, excessive sleep, violence, dejection, grief, infatuation, fear and wretchedness prevail. That is recognized as the age of Kali, friends. This is characterized by the predominance of sloth, impurity, and indolence, as a result of which people become dull-witted, unable to judge things in their proper perspective, and are voracious, lascivious, and destitute. They are trained into these things, mesmerized into these things. They become these things. It isn't just the male who will fall prey, for the female, too, will turn out to be extravagant, self-indulgent, and unchaste. Do you not see it? Do you not see it? Countries are infested with robbers. The spiritual bringers of truth stand condemned by heretics. Rulers exploit the people. And perhaps worst of all, the priests of the religions who plot your course of destiny. Vote in those ungodly things against the laws of God and creation as being worthy and acceptable to fool you, while they remain devoted to the gratification of sexual desires, acquisition of wealth, ego strutting, and intent of gluttony and self-indulgence. Householders will need take to begging, and low-minded traders will carry on business transaction and practice fraud. I believe that you see it everywhere you go, in everything you do. Even when they are not in distress, people will favor pursuits which are condemned. Employees will leave their employers when reduced to penury. Those superior in every other respect. And employers, too, will discharge their employee when incapacitated for service through ailments and so forth, even though his whole family may have served the employer for generations gone by. There will be no loyalty, no support in truth. Your world will have collapsed upon itself in fragmentation. Those who have no true spiritual knowledge will occupy high seats and preach religion, not spirituality in truth, but religions of the man-doctrined clubs. Oppressed by famine and heavy taxation, land being divested of food grains, and stricken with fear of droughts, people in the age of chaos will remain perturbed in mind as well as body. Destitute of clothing and ornaments, nay, even food and drink, bed and sexual enjoyment, they will go even without a bath and put on the appearance of madmen. Look about you at the, quote, deadheads, punk rockers. Look at what you've done to your children. Quarreling even for a small sum of money. Killing for a tiny sum of money. Having cast all goodwill to the winds, people in the time of chaos will kill even their own people and part with their own dear life. Mean-minded fellows will concern themselves only with the gratification of their lust and satisfaction of their hunger, and fail to maintain even their aged parents and elders, while parents will disown their children, though clever in all matters, might be those children. With their mind perverted by heretics, mortals will mostly stop giving reverence to an immortal Lord, the once highest object of adoration for the whole of the universe. In this way, dear ones, when the age of chaos, whose career is so severe to the people, is well nigh past, the Lord will appear in his divine form, consisting of purity alone, for the protection of virtue. So be it, and heed well my words, for it will...